This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by otbdiscs.com.
At one point in time, if you listened to the show, you knew about our little secret site to get awesome discs. It's not a secret anymore. It is a site where you can learn everything about the discs you're purchasing before you actually have them in your hands.
Get disc weight, dominess, flatness, all kinds of ratings. Learn it before you get it in there and get your favorite disc at only the best discs, otbdiscs.com. Use promo code DGPODCAST to get free shipping on your next order. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 241 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
This could honestly be like, I'm going back to the numerology from way, but not numerology, just like liking the numbers of episodes. This might be my like least favorite number of episode. Like, what are you, 241?
There's
like nothing fun with you. There's nothing cool. It's not.
I mean, it could be like two of the band Sum 41. So it'd be like
It's not cool. Like you're not selling it well. Like that's not a.
I'm just saying, like they had some songs that people listened to, and you know, two of them might be better.
Would that be like Sum 39?
I have no idea.
Because it's like they're missing two, and it's a sum.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not going to lie. Joe and I are hilariously underprepared for this episode. We did not test a disc, so we have no deer review. But that should be just a tribute to our, you know, honor.
Lives?
In general.
Oh, yeah, like, or that. Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
That we're not going to just fake a review. We need to spend some more time with the discs we have, and we'll get one in next week.
We've got some ready to roll, and we have some that we've thrown, but it's been a little bit too long to like really give it what it deserves.
Yeah. Specifically one that was sent to us that we need to review with beers that were sent to us, and I got to get that in the lineup. And we also got another one I'm super excited about. I haven't showed you. You're going to hate it. I know you are. But
a beer?
But like a disc. I'm pumped.
Oh, where what?
It's a Robin disc. I already know it. I can feel it. It's domey. I know it's going to be understable. I'm excited.
Here's the real thing. I'm like slowly converting, and I'm sad to say it out loud. My whole disc golf life is changing, and I thought about this actually. I was watching the final round of the Des Moines Open or the Des Moines Championship. Sorry,
challenge.
You're right, challenge. DMC. I won. I'll figure this part out. But my elbow started to hurt a little bit more on backhands, which is like a weird thing.
Maybe try to feed the ducks less on a regular basis.
I've got too much time. I can't do that. Too much time for that, and I don't have time for everything else. I've felt better about my drives in the last 3 weeks than I have in a really long time. I feel like I'm crushing better, blah, blah, blah. Elbow's hurting more. Even though I feel like I'm crushing harder and getting discs to do what I want more off the tee, forehand and backhand, just saying what's up. When I start looking at these like crazy uphill bomber par five holes, there was a world where I was like, oh yeah, let's go get it. And I'm watching this now and being like, I don't
you just feel tired.
Yeah. Like I don't want to mess with that. Yeah. Like I'm not,
that's how I felt my whole life.
I'm not right. That's what I'm saying. My point is I'm getting closer to Robin status where it's just like stupid long holes in the past. I'm like, yeah, let's go get it. And now I'm like, nah, man.
What's
like,
the most understable disc you can put in my hand right now? Please just give it to me.
But with that said, like, I am getting more and more pumped on really cool, getting better at taking momentum off and like slowing down my throw and throwing a 70% Heiser flip laser beam with a chameleon escape. Like, I'm kind of pumped on, like, it's a weird, this is dumb. I don't like whatever this is.
I know. I told you wouldn't like it. Oh, that's hilarious. I'm so proud of you on the other stuff you said, though. Like, that's really great.
Like, not even that I hate, which I actually do hate, how it feels.
For those of you that are, hold on, Joe. For those of you that are new to the podcast, when this podcast first started and Joe and I were throwing together, Joe was throwing, like, rampages and all kinds of other, like, 14 speed discs when he had no business doing it, and he loved it, and he would just throw huge, big Heiser shots, like, as far in the air as he possibly could.
Or gross, like, Anheuser Flex.
Or, like, garbage. Things like that. And just, like, that was his jam, as he said many a time on this podcast. But Joe now practices forehand shots. He loves throwing understable shots in, you know, like up the middle. It's almost like he's becoming a disc golfer. It's amazing. It's fun to watch. I love it personally.
I honestly do too. Like, my game is getting better. If my putt's on, my game's real good, but it's not been on lately.
You know, I don't think putting's real. Honestly, I think it's just like,
what is this? This is. Have you felt that? Have you felt that?
I have.
What the? This is a. They turned the dart into a fairway driver.
This is not fair to our listeners.
They'll find out.
You're holding a disc that we're going to review in the future, and it's just not fair to. And, wow. Wow.
I'm not excited about that.
Joe is like,
what if I love it? What if I throw that?
You are going to love it. Like, I guarantee you're going to love it. It's domey as fuck. And it's going to fly. So I think you're going to love it. I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be a roller. It's going to be a roller.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. I think it's going to be fun.
Dome, that dome might help it out.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be like a baby mantra.
I don't like when you put a name on a disc and then you have like a slogan underneath it. Like, here's the battle cry of this disc. I don't like that part, but we'll.
What other discs do you?
None, and that's why I don't like it. Like, why you'd be like, this is the name of my disc, but also, here's a thing that you should say when you throw it, or like whatever.
I feel like this entire episode, I should just ask you questions and see what you say.
Dude, let's get it.
Because you're
having a great time.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Having
you're
a great good. Time.
You're doing good. You're doing real good. So anyway. We've got a great.
I mean, could you say that about Discmania? Nope, we're not there yet. Yeah. With like Discmania disc, with like them all having like two names, or like early stuff having to be like, uh-huh. It's the
like the
Jackal FD or the help me here the PD2 the
freak
right? Like, why give them multiple names? Like, just if you're gonna give a name, give it a name.
I don't know. I mean, like, I get it from like it, so. This is like your UC mind in there. So like UC has a
spreadsheet. Did he make those discs? I know he didn't.
UC has a spreadsheet, of course. And so like for him, he's like, okay, PD, power driver.
Right.
There it is. Okay, that's my category, my spreadsheet. And it's the two, it's the second one. So like,
well, yeah,
so like he used, let me sort my spreadsheet. But I also have, okay, the people want a name. All right, I've got to put a name. I wish I had like a.
What happened was
I can't do UC accent.
He used Apple numbers instead of actual Excel, and it just doesn't work that way.
No, he doesn't.
He tried to sort, and it was like, no, we don't do this.
UC has his own Linux system he designed himself. Like, there's no way. There's no way.
No. 100%. You're reaching the wrong dude on that. Nope. UC is not a Linux dude.
No, 1,000%. Remember when he did his commercial for the Disc Golf World Tour or whatever, where he was like sitting at the side of a pool with a pina colada? In most likely.
Why do you think I gave $10,000 to the disc golf world tour? Never saw it again.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll happen. So can I do the part where I say we have a great show yet?
I guess so.
All right. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to talk about the Des Moines Challenge. We are going to talk a little bit about the disc golf pro-am, the celebrity pro-am that has happened, but there's no post-produced yet and there was no live, so we're not going to spoil results. We'll just mostly talk about the pairings and whatnot from there. And we're not going to do our picks for D-Glo yet because we want to save that for next week. We got a little bit of time to hit that one, but we'll talk about those. No deer review. We didn't have time to get out in the field and truly evaluate a disc. So when I said earlier that we have a great episode, I meant that we have an episode and that we're going to.
Yeah.
It's going to play out and that. It may be great depending on how well we improvise the funny stuff.
Well, we scripted it all, but well we stay to script. I will say, without reviewing, I will double down on a few of our handful of our last reviews of just beers in general. If you live in California, you can still order Num and Number from Fall River Brewing, and they'll deliver.
Keep in mind, do not use a sharp blade to open the boxes.
Listen to the pre-show to hear about that. Totally worth doing it. The other beer, if you can find it, mostly Northern California, but I feel like it's more widespread, and I feel like they're going to keep making more and different flavors. We reviewed this a few months ago. Trends, T-R-E-N-D-S. From Barrel Brothers Brewing. They're making new flavors. Their newest batch they put out is even better than the first batch. Rob and I were talking about this when we played disc golf last week. It doesn't seem like there's alcohol to the point that it's like suspect. You're like, it's not really what you think it is. But then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm kind of hammered. That was a lot of booze there. Who knew? And you drink it fast. It tastes good. So, Barrel Brothers Trends, Num and Number from Fall River Brewing. You know, if you can find them, get them. Totally worth it.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you ready to talk about Des Moines?
I am indeed.
So, Des Moines, obviously in Des Moines, in Iowa. Idaho.
Iowa. Right? It's Iowa. It's for sure Iowa. Isn't that the capital of Iowa? Oh, God, I hope it is. I'm pretty positive it is. Gosh, I hope I'm right.
I try not to mess up something up so early. But, and I should note, apparently famous for the 2004 PDGA Professional Disc Golf World Championships.
Well, Paul came out early. Everyone told me, like, the best worlds ever was the 2004 Des Moines.
Which, like, I mean, Barry Schultz is probably one of the most underappreciated, extremely good, historically good disc golfers ever. And while his name's on a bunch of Innova discs and things like that, like, we don't think about him in the same way as Climo.
We've got at least six discs in this Shedio that have his name on
them. At least. Barry Schultz, beast. Get your hands on him. You'll love him. But nonetheless, he just lost to Climo a bunch. Like, he won his world championships, I think, two. And I'll confirm that before I, like, get people talking to me about it. But he was in the Climo era. And he was such a good player and then continued to be and still is an incredible player.
He is.
So, it was fun to see that in the live coverage. They kept slotting it in. By the time I watched all of the live coverage, I'd seen it probably like seven times. So I was a little bit like, okay, maybe we can let this one go. But I understand, like, the Disc Golf Pro Tour and DGN is still trying to work out, like, you know, kind of filling in that downtime and what they can do with it. And they have set things ready to go to fill it in. And there was a ton of weather issues in this tournament that caused all kinds of problems. And
you know what I'll say?
It, it, you know, it is what it is when that happens.
Time up post-produced. One, I don't know what happened. I don't know what was behind it, but I know that Jomez pulled out last minute-ish.
Yep.
And Central Coast jumped right in to get after it.
Like, well, and then also a bunch of other pro players dropped out too. So the field got dramatically different by, you know.
Yeah.
By the end of it too. Like, well, Ricky dropped rough, out. Yeah. And, you know, a bunch of players dropped out.
Totally.
And likely weather and also preparing for, you know, D-Glo. You know, that's a major
it
stop.
It is.
And
but I'll
when they're
say,
seeing thunderstorms and things like that,
they
got some bad luck on weather. If the weather wasn't so bad and predictably bad, like,
yeah,
the weather was
yeah.
predicted to be horrible,
no,
and it
be
was
bad
horrible.
Bad. Yep.
So everybody looking at it was like, you know, maybe we'll just, you know, sit this one out. And so a bunch of players dropped out at the last minute. Jomez dropped out, presumably because they knew that the players that they wanted to film for their channel were also dropping out.
Well, their commentators dropped out.
And that, too, could have been. So, yeah, it ended up being, I think, only two rounds were played for FBO.
Yeah.
I believe.
I don't know.
I can double check that. But yeah, only two rounds played for FPO.
Yep.
Obviously, FPO was playing after MPO, so those rounds were, you know,
greatly compromised.
Greatly compromised by the weather.
Yeah.
As it went. So, but this course is a lot of fun to watch.
We jump into that, I want to talk about CCDG coverage, just in the sense of, and I know Worlds on maybe Jomez has started putting things in like this, but I just have so much appreciation for the Bushnell distance and the speed off the tee that CCDG pioneered, and maybe others are doing it now, but
we should note that the speed, the radar person came from our Slack group. Ian Anderson posted in our Slack group needing someone in Iowa to do the speed gun, and someone in the area, I think it was Joel, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Stepped up, and I'll have to confirm this, but I'm fairly certain that he ran speed gun. So
you're welcome, Ian.
If you haven't joined the Love Disc Golf Podcast Slack group, you should do that. Throw stuff at stuff.com. Join Slack. And when Ian needs you, he'll call for you. He puts up like his bat symbol.
He's in our Slack group. He kicks it.
No, he just like turns on the bat symbol, the Ian CCDG, and we all come running because, you know.
I also want to say, like, little, like,
Ian's a god.
Right. On the way out, like, him doing his little, like, Instagram, like, hey, we're trying to get them videos up, but weather and blah, blah, blah. Like, Ian's got some, like, reverse Benjamin Buttons, or actually Benjamin Buttons.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he's just getting more and more handsome.
He's
an athlete, that man.
He's doing the live coverage and managing post-produced. Like, that's some real Renaissance man shit right there.
Well, yeah. No, I'm just, he's a handsome man. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, yeah. But I'm just, like.
I know. Great.
I didn't want to objectify him for his body and his face. I was trying to, you know.
I got no problem with it.
Bring light on his actual skills and the fact that he was doing live commentary and managing a crew, doing post-produced and getting all that out on a timely basis. It was just, it was impressive. And I don't want to.
You can be greatly skilled and beautiful.
I don't want to objectify him for his body.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I guess you don't care about Beyonce. Wow. All right. I see what's up.
Wait, what?
Highly skilled, beautiful.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. You know. Got it.
I don't know. I could have gone. I'm lost. John Mayer? I don't know.
What? That's where you go?
Listen. We'll get there right now. We'll
Joe,
go right there.
Why don't we continue your list of highly skilled.
Time out. John Mayer is
so far, just
a
musicians.
Guitar god. Oh yeah. That way, yeah. I'm for sure all musicians. I don't know where
highly skilled, beautiful people in your mind are only musicians. So we've so far we've got Beyonce and John Mayer.
Tom Brady? What was the other one?
Tom Brady.
Blake Shelton.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Blake Shelton, Tom Brady.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right? Okay. That's
another musician.
You know,
three or four musicians.
Well, a couple were Robin doppelgangers that have been heard many times.
Is Blake Shelton actually talented or is he just
fuck, I don't know. I don't know. You tell me. You're the one who people are like, hey, you look at Blake Shelton. You tell me. I'm sure your wife knows. I don't mean it that way, but I kind of mean it that way.
Wow.
You went to Disneyland a couple weeks ago. How many times was someone like, you look like Blake Shelton?
It happened twice. It happened twice when I went to Disneyland.
And how many times have you heard?
A couple weeks
how
ago,
many times have you heard Tom
ago.
Brady?
Used to. I don't anymore because I got bigger.
You got in better. You got stronger.
Yeah, I got thicker. But it used to happen.
Well, all right.
But I now have facial hair and am fatter. So.
Stronger.
Yes, stronger. Thicker.
Stronger.
Thicker.
More facial hair and stronger.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
Anyway.
Remember when I didn't have all this facial hair?
Des Moines.
Please don't ever remember it. Just only remember me this way. All right, go ahead, Des Moines.
Des Moines Challenge, a really fun course. I this is a long course.
Super fun, but I don't want to play it.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those ones where when you see water carries and things like that as a shitty player, I mean, an intermediate player or whatever.
Well, Raven Newsom, who can throw, I mean, he can throw 450, but not consistently. Like, he had some throws that were like 69 miles out of the hand, but he consistently was throwing like 63 to 65, just like being super calculated because he knew it's like there's not control there.
Yeah.
But he was the one being like, I'm just gonna get over here,
go over there,
and not mess with that carry.
No. So, long course. Water hazards, definitely trees getting in there as well. It is a challenging course. Tall grass, a challenging course. Fun to watch. The live coverage, I wish we didn't have weather issues because it would have been a lot more fun. It was really difficult to follow the live because the times were changing, you know, literally by the hour in terms of what we were expecting to watch. But I still got a good amount of time in on that, and it was good. I can't wait to see it again when we don't have a weather shortened tournament.
Right.
But
I mean, with that said, wrapping up the MPO, I'm just gonna get right in there. So on the third day, they finished the second day and ran the entire final round.
Yep.
Won Paul Macbeth, who somehow, surprise, surprise, has won 8 straight tournaments after world championships.
Including the ones that he has won the world championships in that time.
Went 19 down through his round and a half in the final day.
Unreal.
If it wasn't Paul Macbeth, I'd say unreal. But it's Paul Macbeth, so like, yeah.
11 down in his final round.
He missed some putts too.
He did. And Calvin came hunting him.
Oh yeah.
In the final day. Calvin shot 13 down that final day. And Calvin was
hunting early, and then mid through the second round, Calvin was hunting, and then it got stopped, and Calvin was probably like, I'm gonna go shine some rocks and just like do world, and Paul was like, I'm gonna get in the hyperbaric chamber and like,
that's true,
take sedatives to get up and be fully
Paul Macbeth
ready to run.
Has a trailer with a hyperbaric chamber in it. He goes in. It's common knowledge. Don't question it.
Well, yeah, it's fine. It's like,
but I mean, if you look at these, the top three in this one on that final round, you have Paul Macbeth shooting 11 down, Calvin Heimberg shooting 13 down with an eagle, and then you have Gavin Rathbun shooting 9 down. Like, they came to play on that final day.
Right. And by the way, Kevin Jones, bro, like, you messed up my grip 6, bro. Like,
here's the real question, Joe. Do you think
quesadillas? That's what happened.
No.
Extra time quesadillas. Go ahead.
I'm thinking I'm going to the next person in the standings.
Oh, good.
Do you think that if Ben Calloway lowered his pants to like his actual waist, that he would have won?
Possibly. But I feel like he also might be the person who's like, I feel like maybe I'm sagging my pants now, and I feel like I'm disrespecting my
elders. I mean, maybe
elders.
He's just comfortable having his belt buckle at his belly button.
Here's the real thing that happened. Let's be totally honest. He had his belt buckle maybe over his belly button, but those pants went to the top of his shoes. Like, he wasn't like
that's
high
true.
Water pants.
No, he got the pant length right. No.
Well, that's exactly what he bought the pants. He was like, oh, damn, like my 26-inch waist pants, the only pants I can find that like match my outfit are 36 long.
Yeah, for sure.
And by 36, I mean actually probably like 32.
28.
All right. 28. I think he's maybe a taller guy. Anyway, it just match up. He's like, but listen, these look good. I'm going to make it work. But I got to wrench them up so they're not, I'm not a whole bunch of pant going over my shoe.
I mean,
I don't want to, I don't have time to hem stuff. Look, they don't got time. And I love disc golfers to death. The top tier are doing all right. Below that, they ain't making money enough to go get their pants hemmed and cleaned up. It's like, I bought this and I maybe already spent too much on these pants. Like, I'm already like, dang it. I don't have time to return them. I got these pants. They're a little too long. I don't want people to realize they're too long. So I'm just going to hike up them up, wrench that belt a little bit more. Nobody will notice. Sorry, Ben, but we noticed. Those are some high cinched up pants.
Wow,
my man.
Joe, you really went way more in depth. That was supposed to be like a one line joke.
Oh, I mean, that's what happened. I'm like, I'm ready for him to respond and be like, yeah, pretty much. I bought pants that fit my waist and they're a little too long and I couldn't get them hemmed and I didn't want to look like a goof and I didn't want the pant legs to get like muddy because it was raining and everything. So I just wrenched them up to keep them dry because when you get the wet pant legs, that'll slowly seep into your socks. And you got wet socks and you got wet feet. You don't want any of that.
Hand me the shovel.
And
just give me the shovel.
You just got to wrench them up.
Put the shovel down.
Oh, I don't think I dug deep. I think I educated everyone. You're welcome.
Can you read the screen from there? Or do you need me to do the
Paul Macbeth minus 28 in first place? Calvin Heimberg minus 26 in second place. Gavin Rathbun, who had very clean rounds and didn't fall apart in the end, but he had some doinks, minus 25 in third. Raven Newsom, who is like ramping himself up to be a big... Oh, I know, we'll get there. I'm just saying, he was a fan. He was so much fun. Like, Raven, like, really pumped up the crowd.
Raven's a sexy name.
Oh, totally. Ben Calloway also tied in fourth, minus 22. Had a really rough final round to get there. He was in second rolling in. But he'll learn from that. Adam Hammes, minus 21 in sixth. Kevin Jones should have been third to help my grip six and my bets against Robin, but minus 20 in seventh. Tied for eighth, a four-way tie. Emerson Keith, world champion James Conrad. Chris Clemens, Nathan Queen, all at minus 19. Great rounds from everyone. Nathan Queen on CCDG commentary was fun. Didn't sound crazy Canadian, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I like
nothing
it.
Wrong with that. I'm just saying I was expecting some Canadian.
Yeah. So FPO on their side really got the short end of the stick in terms of weather. They had delays. They were forced to drop to two rounds. This is almost like it was tough. It was just really tough. They were forced to deal with more than just weather adversity in their rounds. And so that being said, Missy Gannon took down the win in first place at five down.
With a nails putt.
Yeah.
To seal it.
Yeah.
like circle's edge, nails putt to be like, it's done.
Yep.
It's over.
It was awesome. And that's what Missy does too. Like she is, I feel like this might be best possible scenario for Missy because she is so consistent and she's kind of like how people talk about Nate Sexton, like he hates it when you call him conservative and stuff like that. But that's the kind of player that Missy is too.
I know where I can get this. I'm
going to
get it.
There. I know what I can do here. I'm going to play the best possible shot. I'm going to put myself in position. I'm going to make my putts. I'm going to make my upshots. And when the weather is bad and other players are struggling, she is there and playing her game and able to win. So I think that that is a tribute to the way she plays, that she can play through. I mean, the FPO played through horrible weather, terrible, like way worse than anything MPO had to deal with. They were, it was rough. And the fact that she was able to put together some solid rounds and able to win and end up at five down, even just through two rounds. And if you want to talk about it being shortened and things like that, they played through some rough weather and
yep,
schedule changes. And anybody that knows about playing in tournament rounds, and when your schedule changes and your routine changes, and it makes it more difficult for you to perform when you're having to adjust to a, you know, uncertain future. So congrats to Missy Gannon. She's a great player, and we expect to see her regularly at the top. You know, we often mention her in the top five. So
totally, and she fluctuates. She is someone who can obviously win first and done more than once, but also if something is off, can have rough rounds.
Yeah.
So as that consistency improves just by playing more tournaments, we're going to see her in the top five that much more consistently.
Yeah. All right, Joe, you want to give us the rundown on top 10 here?
Yep. So Missy Gannon, minus -5 in first place. Jessica Weiss, great for her, minus -4 in second. Paige Pierce and Kristen Tatar tied in third at minus -2. Katrina Allen alone in fifth at minus -1. Sarah Hokum, plus +3 in sixth. Juliana Korver just shredding, doing work for decades at plus +4 in seventh. Kat Murch, plus +5 in eighth. Deanne Carey, plus +6 in ninth. Will you scroll up real quick to see in case there's any more? Yep. And then we have a three-way tie in 10th with Vanessa Van Dyken, Holly Finley, and another Raven Klein, all at plus +10.
I would just like to say, because we're going to transition to the Disc Golf Pro-Am Celebrity Pro-Am tournament next, but Holly Finley had the joke of the week, which was that she posted when they listed the
all
pairings,
the players, yeah,
all the players. She asked if Brody was the celebrity or the pro, I appreciate you.
That's
Holly.
That was money. That was
I appreciate
money.
You, Holly.
Finally,
said some things.
I've always appreciated you, Holly.
I said some
just
things
saying.
About Holly in the past. Nothing to do with her as a person.
That was money, though.
But yeah, I appreciate that. That was fantastic. So the Celebrity Pro-Am, which there's no coverage out, so we're not going to talk results, but it was at Funky Farms, which is
Ben Askren's home course.
So this was, a thing. And there was a singles round and a doubles round, and I believe there's coverage coming out on GK Productions, is my understanding on this one, and it should be coming out soon. But so you're talking in terms of the players that are there. You had Paul McBeth, Ricky Wysocki, Kevin Jones, Calvin Heimberg, Simon Lazat, Eagle McMahon, James Conrad, Brody Smith, and then you have like Katrina Allen, Paige Pierce, and those are the main like pro players that were disc golf pro players that we're talking about. And then the celebrities were Ben Askren, Casey DeSmith, Dylan Cease, a pitcher for the Chicago White Sox.
And Casey DeSmith, goalie for the Penguins.
Yeah, Casey DeSmith, goalie for the Penguins. Wes Finley, who I believe is like just a
actor?
Like real world guy, I want to say. I'm not totally sure.
I don't know. Some of them I honestly don't know.
Julian Marquez, not sure who that is. Rick Lynn, don't know who that is. Andrew Zimmern, who is a chef.
He's Strange Foods.
Okay.
Or
Wes Finley. Is Wes Finley a Holly Finley?
No, there's like actors and
a
musician.
Okay.
There's
so I had that
actors,
wrong.
There's MMA fighters.
The real world guy was Jordan Wisely.
Okay.
That I was thinking. And then Kevin Alejandro, who is an actor.
Yep.
Just a fun event where they're playing a course and they did a singles round and a doubles round, and we should see some interesting coverage. There were two aces
and another couple little highlights that you can find online.
Yeah, so good stuff. And then I saw a photo from it so apparently there was pay-per-view, which I totally missed entirely. I would have jumped on it anyway.
I mean, had we known, we probably would have.
But there was a screenshot of Calvin Heimberg and Katrina Allen arm wrestling, and Katrina Allen looking like freaking Wonder Woman with the freaking guns. Like,
bang, bang.
Yeah, like, world champ, just cut, awesome. Like,
it's that carnivore diet. It's all that meat.
I guess so. Like, meat. Man. I was intimidated, honestly. I saw it. I was like, damn, girl.
But not upset by it. Anyway.
No, not upset at all. I'm just.
Yep. Yep. Just we'll just leave it there. Yeah.
Impressed. And, you know. Nah, can we take impressed. A break real quick? Or, yeah, okay. We'll just
continue. Yeah, let's keep rolling. Keep rolling.
The whole thing. So, fun times. GK Productions should be coming out soon.
So possibly by
next and hopefully
episode,
a tradition going forward.
I think so. I think
I
so.
I mean, the fact that you got Casey DeSmith, an NHL player, and then you have Dylan Cease, who is a legitimate
high
up and coming
MLB pitcher, probably on like finest quality fantasy baseball teams.
Joe has a dynasty team that I've been guiding him through, and I literally told you to pick up Dylan Cease. I literally told you to pick up Dylan Cease,
and I thank you.
Like,
he's doing real well for me. I think.
Oh man, he's doing good.
He's doing good. Yeah,
but you know, baseball has so many corollaries to good disc golf form. It's a little bit opposite in terms of how you throw. You know, like your backhand form is more like a left-handed batting swing, and your forehand form would be like a perfect kind of sidearm type throw in baseball. So it's not,
or even a right-handed batting swing. Like,
well, that would, yeah, a little bit, but there's a lot of corollaries in that there is the hip movement and you know, generating power in that respect, and elbow flexibility, I'll call it.
Right. Well, I'll tell you right now, like I played very little baseball, but I played enough, and I've played like softball here and there and stuff, and I'm a right-handed batter. In the last like 4 years, I'm like, I feel like I can hit better jacks.
Yeah, I'll strike out more. I'll strike out more for sure, but I can.
But I'm saying left-handed, I feel like just that, right, just that straight, like, swing through, like, that backhand.
Yeah.
Just let me swing it, and I feel I can do more damage batting lefty.
Yeah, no, I feel the same
than
way.
Right-handed.
I'll strike out, though. That's the problem. I'm way better at making contact right-handed, and I could probably generate more left-handed power. But I will swing and miss for sure.
I mean, my big thing is I still have a torn labrum, so I can't really play softball because you got to throw the ball to places, and that doesn't work. That doesn't work.
No. But I mean, some decent names on here, and I love.
I think it's gonna keep getting bigger
between like Dylan Cease and God, I'm blanking on the guy from the Reds.
The pitcher. The
other pitcher.
Oh, gosh, what's his name?
Yeah.
Who threw the gross forehand.
It's not
monster.
Gross. It's
amazing, but it's
yeah.
It's gross because it's
it'll come
so
to
much
me.
Movement.
But
yeah.
Like baseball has so many carryovers to disc golf that it's something. Like the people that love baseball and maybe they just couldn't quite make it or
Rogers from the Giants
or the oppressive just the oppressive minor league system in terms of how little they get paid to play baseball, and you could look at disc golf and see that I have the ability to do this and learn how to throw a backhand and put my skills
thing,
to use
pipeline,
in disc golf.
We're seeing it with Ella Hansen a little bit. Like I think the pipeline from Ultimate's going to start opening up too.
Yeah.
Like it's going
to. I mean,
I know.
I get it.
It's
the pipeline from Ultimate
different.
Doesn't.
It's not the same elite athletes. I know. And yeah. We'll leave it there. And no disrespect to y'all Ultimate players because that's not what I'm saying. But there will be. I'm sorry. There will be elite athletes that I think will start messing around with the stuff. And I think super smart to do it during baseball All-Star Week. I think that makes the most sense ever to continue this going forward. It's after the NHL season. Like, we're going to see more. There will be more pros that want to jump in. AMs that are professional athletes. Like it's going to get bigger. I would love for next year to be on a bigger course, and I think it's really cool that Ben Askren, I'm sure he was the one who pushes through and made it happen. He has lots of connections at his own course. I think it will get bigger and better and generate a lot more media coverage going forward. I think it was a super successful run for the first ever, and I think it's like it can only go up.
Amir Garrett was the player I was talking about. But
well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, I could have told you
that. That was the other pitcher I was talking
about.
But like the pitching and hitting in baseball, and same with tennis and golf, the hip movement is the same. It's the same. It's about generating power from your lower body and your hips.
Slap shot?
So, yeah, hockey too. You're right. I mean, it's any time you need to generate power to throw something, you have to start from your feet. And it starts from your feet, and you move up to your hips. And
then when you don't do that, you blow up muscles in your shoulders. Just saying.
Like they talk about footwork all the time. In all those sports. So
God, someday, Robin, someday, maybe, I don't know, I can't guarantee it. Hopefully someday I'll have a real X step.
You have a next step now.
Yeah, but it's pretty much just like tiny.
I don't know that your legs actually cross over each other, but.
I mean, they do, but it's really just like helping me timing my standstill.
Yeah. That's probably true.
There's no kinetic energy rolling through my X step. Someday, y'all, if you haven't played with me, you will hopefully someday, and you'll see that I just run up to stop and throw things semi-far for a standstill.
He does fine.
I do fine. I do, but it's like I know that if I can figure it out someday, like there's like 50 feet that I can unlock.
I mean, there could be 200 feet you could unlock. Who knows?
Fuck. All right, everyone. I throw 600 feet now. Don't worry about it. It's just form. Hold me back.
On that note.
Don't you worry about it.
That's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. We will preview D-Glo next week. We will have an actual deer review. We'll have a great time. And in the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song. Aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you fill my throat for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.